The governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, and the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, are partnering for the initiative Disagree Better. Their initiative seeks to principally reduce the level of political polarization by encouraging persons of opposite opinion and position to positively disagree without hating or tearing each other down. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. The initiative also has a further application aside from political discourse. The Disagree Better year-long initiative of both governors is especially pertinent with the increased level of anti-Semitism and hate being conveyed and energized by the current Hamas-Israeli conflict in the Middle East. Disagreeing Better can serve to help lessen the tensions and anti-Semitic actions currently taking place. Lessening anti-Semitism and hate are the anchor long-term goals of the Anti-Defamation League. On this edition, we continue exploring more regarding how to get this polarization under better control with the Mountain State's ADL Executive Director, Mr. Scott Levin. The actions taking place in the Middle East right now is really an opportunity for parents to connect with their youth regarding the information sources that they are viewing and seeing. So at least the parent can put it into perspective. As what's being said, what's not being said, and what should be said.
Yeah, and I think it's a recognition whether you're, right now when I talked about the anti-Semitic incidents have been rising so terribly right now, I'm convinced that so are anti-Arabic, Arab or Muslim sentiments that are here.
Yeah.
And just as kids use stereotypes and prejudices to identify people as being on one side or the other of the issues, I think that that's a real challenge. And I think I would hope that adults would have the capability to try to at least remove some of those stereotypes and prejudices out of the equation. I would, it might be too much to ask, but I'd also hope that they would have the wherewithal to not be looking at the TikToks and to do the deeper research and looking at different news sources in order to get much more well-founded opinions on it that they can help their kids with.
The anti-Semitism, you let me know if I'm wrong about this, anti-Semitism is pretty much religious-based, religious lifestyle-based versus the images they see from war and the result of that war. Can we separate those? Should they separate those to discuss them properly?
I think I would add, though, that while there is religious-based anti-Semitism, I think that in today's world, because Jews, especially in America, are really an ethno-religion, that it really is racially based in many ways as well. Because the reason why I draw that clarification is that it does not matter whether I am a Jew who wears a yarmulke on my head or fringes that the more Orthodox do, or whether I go to synagogue or temple every week to be observant in the prayers and rituals of being a Jew, which is more religious based. Just the fact that I am a Jew is enough to draw that scorn and the prejudices and the stereotypes and canards, conspiracy theories about control and money and all the rest of the horrible things that are said really isn't so much about my religious belief as to my more identity as an ethnicity or a race of people. And right now, what's happening in Israel and Gaza has all kinds of implications because Jews in America are identified as being the same as the Jews in Israel, and therefore they're being, on college campuses and other places, they're being excluded from certain organizations or certain spaces because people are opposed to what's going on in Israel. And again, that doesn't have to do with their religion. It's just their identity.
Now, we have three camps here. Seems as if they're those that are pro-Palestinian, those that are pro-Israel, and then there's this camp in the middle. that says, that's not our fight. We shouldn't be in it in the first place. Is there something positive they can do to positively affect either one of the other two camps and to making sure that they are not being anti-Semitic or anti-Palestinian?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to clarify, as I always try to do very loudly and clearly, that just because you oppose the policies of Israel and even some of its actions, that does not in and of itself make you anti-Semitic or what you're saying anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
I think if you're attacking the legitimacy of a Jewish state of Israel that's been around for 75 years and is a land of self-determination for the Jews, as all people, including the Palestinians, should have, just not in the same exact place, that can be anti-Semitic. So it is clear that sometimes there's a it's tough to tell, but I just want to make sure that people understand you may or may not like Benjamin Netanyahu, for instance. That does not make you an anti-Semite if you don't like his policies. But I would say one thing about those that say I don't have a dog in the fight, or I don't want to be spending American money on this, or I don't think we should be doing it. I think it's important to recognize this is not about what's going on right now is not about Israel and the Palestinian people. When people call for a ceasefire right now, they have to understand that on October 6th, the day before the massacre, there was a ceasefire that was breached by Hamas.
Yes.
Hamas is recognized as a terrorist organization, not just by Israel and the United States, but by Canada, the European Union, and a number of other bodies, because their charter isn't really about support of the Palestinian people. It is directed towards the annihilation of the Jewish people. So we also have to recognize in the United States that this isn't just about what's happening overseas or far away in the Middle East. Hamas has announced that what happened on October 7th is just the first of many of what they want. They want to do the same thing over again. And they've also talked about that they want to come against the West and the United States in particular. So the final thing that I would say on that is also, I certainly understand why people want an immediate ceasefire, because nobody wants to see the just heartbreaking things that are happening to Palestinian children and innocent people that are going on there. If there's going to be a ceasefire, presumably it should be a ceasefire by both parties that are there.
What do you recommend that American citizens do and parents do with kids in a prolonged action? Because a lot of things that are going on now are flashpoints. It started, everybody's gone to their individual corners and yelling at each other, et cetera, et cetera. But it's only been a month, just about a month.
Yeah.
So it's a flashpoint. In the other hand, Ukraine has been going on for more than a year. So if the Middle East goes on for a year, what do you recommend to parents and families how to manage the ongoing information about the war or misinformation about the war that they can still be healthy, with their responses?
It is a challenge. And I'd also say to you that in addition to what's going on in Israel, what's going on in Ukraine, I mean, people forget also how many more people died, and Muslim people for that died in Lebanon, in Syria, in Yemen, and all of those places. There's just this unusual focus or double standard that takes place when Israel's involved in it. As to how people can advise their kids during this period of time, I think you have to certainly take into consideration the age appropriateness of any of these discussions that's out there. War is absolutely a horrible, awful thing. And, nobody knows that more than Americans who've been involved in it and have lost people to war. And so I think you have to really tailor that discussion that's going on, and you have to sort of moderate it. I think as you are dealing, though, with older kids who are exposed to a lot of news sources, I think what you have to do is you have to listen to them and take the lead from what they're reading and hearing to make sure that they can properly process that. You know, I think that today most parents are not going to be able to keep their kids from watching TikTok and Snapchat and whatever other sources the kids are doing. But hopefully what they can do is help them to process it in a more meaningful way. Look, I'm against war myself. I don't think there should be wars, but there are times when people are drawn to it where, you know, you do not have choices of what it is. And, you know, I think in this particular instance, you can't have one side fire a gun, kill a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden throw their hands up and say, ceasefire, war should stop.
Yeah.
Like in all things in life, there are consequences for actions. And again, I can't stress enough in this particular instance, I think it's something that all people should understand, including kids old enough to do so, is that there are still lives at stake that are being held hostage. And, you know, it's just a question of whether or not, practically speaking, you can just stop until you can make sure that that doesn't happen again and you get those people back.
I guess the final focus then for people to know is to, you can discuss the actions that are going on, pro or con, or whichever position you want to take, and you can do that without the anti-Semitism.
Absolutely. I don't think that, look, and I really appreciate you saying that, you can agree or disagree with Israel, but to put it into the context of Jew hatred is really at a loss. And part of what's going on right now, and you know, I don't want to go too far down another rabbit hole here, but, you know, when people support an organization like Hamas, its charter really is, by its own language, anti-Jewish more than it is pro-Palestinian.
Yeah.
In the way that the language that's used there. And today, the other part that's just really, really difficult, Adam, is some words have just lost their meaning. So people that are out chanting, you know, that there's genocide, for instance, going on to a people, the Jewish people that have actually suffered from a genocide, the Holocaust.
Right.
It is so wrong, because genocide, it really talks about an attempt to, with intent, destroy a people, a religion. And clearly that's not what Israel is doing. There's a war going on and people are dying, but there's an intent to wipe off these people from the earth, as happened in Rwanda with the Holocaust, the Uyghurs, and the other things. But those words are kind of losing their meaning, and or they're becoming normalized. And what I fear out of all of this is that when you make allegations that are just off base about genocide, ethnic cleansing, and the like, that what right now is a feeling of vulnerability and lack of safety that exists in the Jewish world from these anti-Semitic tropes that are out there is going to turn into real violence. And that's what really worries me.
Mr. Scott Levin, the executive director of the Mountain States chapter of the Anti-Defamation League, has been our guest again for this edition regarding how to lessen and begin to end the increasing level of hate and anti-Semitism taking place. We do thank him again for his time. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.